It was an hour and 47 minutes past the appointed meeting time. Obi-Wan Kenobi did not truly expect to see Quinlan Vos, but he held to the ritual of showing up, hoping against hope that this time, for this meeting, Vos would be there. Each time, Kenobi was forced to depart alone, and that flicker of hope grew dimmer. He debated leaving early, but he was too stubborn. Kenobi would give his old friend the courtesy of waiting the 2 hours he always had before giving up and returning to the temple. The server droid zipped up to him and put another bottle on the table. She gave him a metal-lidded wink.
You're becoming quite a regular.
Kenobi gave her a wan smile, and as she rolled away, he pulled his nondescript, ragged hood farther over his face. A shadow fell over the table, and he looked up, smiling with relief, but the words of greeting died on his lips. Before him stood Asajj Ventress, but not the Ventress with whom he had crossed lightsabers on so many occasions. She now had short, pale blonde hair, and she looked like she had aged 10 years. Her ice-blue eyes were bloodshot, and there were deep circles under them. She had changed more than physically. Emanating from her was a bleak resignation that failed to entirely mask a deep-set ache. Apprehension rose in Kenobi, but not for anything he thought she would do. He suddenly, desperately hoped she would not speak. For a long moment, Ventress was indeed silent, her gaze lowered. Then she took a long, shuddering breath and lifted her eyes to his. When she spoke, it was in the same husky voice he remembered, but it was not filled with fury or cruel amusement. It was the voice of someone adrift and bereft.
He's not coming back. He belongs to Dooku now.
Kenobi's eyes widened.
No,
he thought. Not him. Not the ebullient, eternally playful Quinlan.
No.
Wordlessly, he reached for the second cup he always ordered, hoping Vos would show up to drink from it. Now Kenobi filled it and slid it across the table. Ventress stared at it, then at him, and finally eased herself into the chair slowly, as if even simple movement hurt. She took a slow sip. They sat there together for a long time.
Chapter 26.
Asajj Ventress had spent a lifetime living in the moment. She was a woman who had no patience for regrets or what-ifs. She moved resolutely in a single direction, forward. Except now. Now her dreams were filled with the images of Quinlan Vos with yellow eyes. Quinlan Vos wordlessly pleading as she watched him be... let him be dragged away in torment by two of Dooku's battle droids. Could she have pressed the attack and freed him then? Could she have acted more swiftly, said something to reach him? Regret, hitherto a stranger, now dogged her tracks as constantly as her own shadow. Though she had never been one who drank to get drunk, she discovered that drinking helped. She had exhausted both her credits and any meager sense of goodwill she'd had with Fett and his syndicate on the rescue attempt that had gone so sickeningly wrong. Ventress took on jobs as they came her way, channeling the guilt and pain into action, unleashed on whatever hapless bounty she was after on any given day. Most of the credits were spent on alcohol. Sometimes, if she drank enough, she would have a dreamless sleep. Sometimes. Ventress lost count as the days merged into weeks, then months. She had a bad shock early on, when she was knocking back a fourth shot of something strong and green, and a holovid had come on with first Count Dooku's face, and then Quinlan's. They didn't know who he was, but the vidcasters referred to him as
"this unknown new right hand of Count Dooku."
Ventress had managed to get out before snapping and destroying the holo-emitter with her lightsaber. Quinlan's lightsaber. Since then, she'd avoided bars with holovids, but she couldn't escape the war entirely. Soon, Dooku's mystery man was Dooku's new admiral, complete with a colorful nickname already. Admiral Enigma. And people were gossiping about him as often as not. Ventress was dimly aware that at least one battle had been won by the former Jedi Master, but she left before the number of casualties had been revealed. Sometimes when she had been drinking extra heavily, Ventress grew paranoid. She became convinced that Voss was sending people after her to finish the job of executing the murderous woman who had so hatefully deceived him. Ventress would begin watching the shadows, and more than once she had inadvertently terrorized an innocent passerby. Tonight, Ventress hadn't been drinking hard. Well, not yet. And she was still getting the sensation that she was being watched. She frowned into her beverage, tossed some credits onto the bar, then looked around with feigned casualness. No one stood out particularly. Then again, if this being were good at his, her, its job, she wouldn't immediately notice. Ventress rose, taking care to wobble the precise amount that would suggest that she'd had a little too much to drink without overdoing it, and left the bar with an exaggeratedly careful stride. Days and nights down here on 1313 were dark, but there was always someone out on the streets. Most beings gave her a wide berth. As she stumbled down the alley behind the bar, dodging piles of refuse and snoring drunks, Ventress listened carefully. She heard nothing out of the ordinary, but she couldn't shake the feeling. She turned the corner, pressed herself into the side of the building, and waited. A few seconds later, a shape emerged. Ventress reached out in the force, seized her stalker, raised him up into the air, and slammed him down. An instant later, she had a knee on his chest, and the glow of the lightsaber a few centimeters from his throat revealed the large, startled eyes and furry muzzle of a Moran. He made no move to resist her.
"Give me one reason I shouldn't kill you," Ventress demanded. "We have a mutual friend,"
the Moran replied.
"I don't have friends."
She brought the sizzling green blade closer, singeing the fur along his neck. He stayed motionless.
"I have a weapon at my waist. Take it."
Ventress reached with her free hand, still keeping the lightsaber a centimeter from his throat. Her hand closed on something cylindrical and made of cool metal, and her eyes widened as she looked at the lightsaber. Slowly, Ventress sat back, removing her weapon, but not extinguishing it. She kept his lightsaber.
"Start talking. They didn't tell me you were quite so fast,"
said the Moran, relief in his voice. He sat up, slowly and carefully, lest she change her mind.
"I can be even faster. What do the Jedi want with me?"
she asked, adding bitterly,
"This time, my name is Desh, and the Jedi don't know I'm here. Quinlan Voss was one of my best friends."
Surprising how much hearing his name still hurt.
"Jedi aren't supposed to have best friends." "Since when was Voss a typical Jedi?" "You have a point. Go on."
Desh looked somber.
"We know about what happened. With Dooku. And with you. And what exactly do the Jedi think they know about me? Master Kenobi said he spoke with you. You came to him and told him what happened to Voss."
He was avoiding the question.
"Some of us wanted to go after him. We've been overruled. So far."
Now she understood.
"And you thought that if I were involved, I could help."
Desh bared his teeth in what was clearly a sheepish grin rather than a threat, and scratched behind one vulpine ear.
"Well, yes. I thought that if I could talk to you, I could, well,
His large golden eyes met hers.
Convince you to come back to the temple with me. Kenobi sent you? Like I said, the Jedi don't know I'm here. But I'm willing to bet that if he did know, Master Kenobi would be glad. Sometimes it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. How do I know this isn't a trap? You don't. And I won't force you to come with me. But if you walk away from this, Voss won't stand a chance.
Ventress appraised him. Desh did seem like the sort of being that Voss would have gravitated toward. It wasn't anything she could put a name to, but she could picture them getting into scrapes together. She reached into the Force and sensed from the Moran only genuine concern. She thought back on the existence she'd led for the last few months, and her stomach soured. If there was even a chance the Jedi were indeed willing to help. Ventress stood.
What are you waiting for? Let's go.
Ventress, Desh, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and a clearly unhappy Anakin Skywalker entered the council chambers just in time for bad news. The council members were watching a holofeed of a terrible battle. Republic and Separatist fighters and attack cruisers were engaged in combat. As Kenobi watched, a dreadnought came into view, targeting a cruiser. The Republic vessel cracked in half under the onslaught. Fire, fed by the ship's own supply of oxygen, roiled upward. Yoda eyed Ventress with mild surprise and pressed a button, pausing the holo. Others reacted in a much more vigorous manner. Mace Windu got to his feet, one hand going to his lightsaber. Ki-Adi Mundi, Shaak-Ti, and Plo Koon, also present, did the same.
Asajj Ventress, Windu snapped. Thank you for making the job of arresting you so much easier.
Ventress threw Kenobi a shocked and furious glance. Kenobi lifted a hand.
No, Master Windu, he said calmly. Ventress came here in good faith, and of her own free will, to offer what help she could. I've given her my word that she would come to no harm within the temple walls, and I will keep that promise.
Everyone turned to Yoda. The ancient Jedi Master regarded Ventress steadily, assessing her. Ventress straightened and did not shirk the scrutiny. Kenobi recalled that the last time the two had met, Ventress had used lies and deception in an attempt to kill Yoda. But the head of the council was his usual calm self. Finally, he nodded.
Asajj Ventress, he greeted her. A liar of Master Kenobi we will not make. Grateful we are for your help. Questions for you we have.
Get on with it,
Ventress replied, crossing her arms.
You will speak to Master Yoda with respect, Windu said.
I will speak my truth however I please.
If it is indeed truth, said Plo Koon.
Please, masters, said Kenobi. Let's just get to the business at hand, shall we?
Fine, Windu said. You and Boss were close, weren't you?
You could say that,
Ventress said, her expression revealing nothing.
We were working well as a team.
So it was a professional relationship then? Asked Kenobi.
Ventress rolled her eyes.
Just spit it out, Kenobi.
He took a deep breath.
Very well. Did you become lovers?
She had to have been expecting this, but couldn't hide her reaction. A pained look flitted across her strong features, and her body hitched ever so slightly.
Yes,
she said quietly. Everyone exchanged glances. Kenobi had suspected as much. He felt a stab of pity for the woman standing before them. There had been a time when he would have rejected such a statement as a flat-out impossibility. But he knew she told the truth.
Did you teach Voss the ways of the Sith?
Asked Plo Koon. Ventress closed her eyes and inhaled deeply, pressing her lips into a thin line. Kenobi hoped she would deny it, but feared he knew better.
Not as such.
What is that supposed to mean?
Anakin snapped. Kenobi lifted his hand and Anakin fell silent.
Continue, you may,
Yoda said, not unkindly. Ventress spoke to Yoda directly.
Sometimes you must fight fire with fire. Vos wasn't ready to take on Dooku. Managed correctly, the dark side would give him the edge so that we could complete the mission. I know the danger of even the smallest misstep.
You tried to manage the dark side? Kenobi asked incredulously. Knowing the danger you were putting him in?
Ventress regarded him steadily, coldly.
It was a calculated risk.
But you pushed him, didn't you? Said Mace. You pushed him too far.
Her jaw tightened. When she spoke, her voice was icy with controlled anger.
I was trying to protect him in the only way I knew how.
By leading him by the hand straight into hell?
Ventress clenched her fists, clearly struggling not to leap at Windu. Equally clear to Obi-Wan was the fact that the Jedi Master might have welcomed the excuse to attack her. Ventress's breath came in quick, angry gasps as she spoke.
I will remind you all that it was you who assigned him this mission. It was you who led him to me. Everyone in this room knew who and what I was from the beginning, Windu. Don't fool yourself. The blame isn't mine alone to bear.
It was a brutal truth, but truth it was, nonetheless. And the Council knew it. An uncomfortable silence fell.
Care for him still, do you?
Asked Yoda gently. Ventress looked as though she sensed a trap, but knew better than to lie to so many Jedi Masters. She didn't look at anyone as she spoke.
Yes.
Enough to become Sith again yourself?
Kenobi asked the obvious question before Windu could. Ventress took a long time in replying. Finally, she lifted her head and looked at Yoda.
No.
Yoda nodded.
Further questions, has the Council?
No one spoke.
Jedi Knights Desh and Skywalker. Outside with Ventress, you await. Speak with the Council alone, I must.
Chapter 27
Ventress looked wary, but she accompanied Desh and Anakin outside into the corridor. When the doors closed, Yoda looked around at the Council.
Cooperative, has she been?
As much as someone like her can be, yes,
Kenobi agreed.
Truth, has she spoken, within this chamber. Loves Vos still, she does. And lead us to him, she will.
And when we find him, what then?
Ki-Adi Mundi asked.
We have seen what Admiral Enigma has done already. If we do not successfully capture him, and he escapes, then we have turned another Sith Lord out into the galaxy.
If we can take him, we can turn him back, Kenobi said.
You cannot save everyone, Master Kenobi,
Plo Koon said, not without sympathy. Yoda nodded.
Save themselves, they must.
I understand that, Master Yoda,
Kenobi said.
But if given permission to mount a recovery, I will take responsibility for Vos myself. I was his supervisor for the original mission. I alone will see it through.
Even if we do manage to capture him successfully, how do we know we can trust him? He was introduced to the dark side by that woman, and is now Dooku's pet,
Mace pointed out.
Those roots go deep.
With respect, Master Windu, I believe that Ventress was right. We bear more than a little accountability for what has happened to Vos. He was raised in the temple, so there is no excuse for him not to be properly prepared to face this sort of challenge.
To which challenge do you refer, Master Kenobi?
Mace inquired caustically.
Dooku or Ventress?
Both, Kenobi said. Ventress is at fault, yes. And of course, Count Dooku. But this, Masters, this one is our responsibility. We owe Voss the chance to choose again, and with our help, wisely.
Then I believe that Ventress should not be part of the rescue mission, Mace asserted.
Yoda shook his head, looking pensive.
Key to this, she is. Need her, we will. Master Kenobi, permission you have to recover Quinlan Voss. But not alone will you be. Jedi Skywalker and Ventress both you will take.
I do not understand, Master Yoda,
Windu said, his voice betraying his exasperation.
I yield to your wisdom, but I think we all must be aware of the disaster we are courting if we're wrong.
Believe me, Kenobi said, I am more than aware.
A small light built into the curve of Yoda's chair began to flash.
A message we have,
Yoda murmured, and pressed the button. A holographic image of Admiral Wolf Yularen appeared in the middle of the room.
Master Yoda,
he said in his clipped, elegant voice.
We have received new intel on Count Dooku and his Admiral Enigma.
Bring in Ventress,
Yoda snapped. Kenobi ushered Ventress, Anakin, and Desh into the chamber. Ventress started to object and jerk her arm away, but Kenobi hushed her with a gesture.
Proceed, Admiral,
Yoda said.
We have a sighting that places Enigma on a Providence-class dreadnought. We're currently investigating rumors that this ship is about to attack Taurus.
Ventress, said Kenobi, turning to her and smiling mildly. Are you up for a trip?
Ventress looked from Admiral Yularen to Yoda, and then back to Kenobi.
You've got to be joking.
You know as well as I do that there is still hope for him.
I don't know that,
she said bluntly. Kenobi was surprised. Mace Windu frowned, leaning forward.
You weren't there. You didn't see his face. You don't know how hard it is to come back from.
You did it,
Kenobi interrupted quietly. Ventress paused in mid-sentence, her eyes looking piercingly into his. He could sense how stunned she was by his recognition of what she had done. Some of the heat had gone from her voice as she replied.
Just barely.
But still, Kenobi pressed. You understand what it takes. There may be a chance for him yet, but we have to stop him before he goes any farther down that path, or it might indeed be too late.
Ventress glanced around at the Masters regarding her, her gaze lingering upon each one. Her chin lifted slightly at Windu's open disapproval.
I'll do it. But how do I know you won't arrest me upon our return?
Well,
Kenobi hedged.
A pardon, the Council will offer.
Everyone turned to look at the diminutive Master. He was smiling gently, his eyes kind.
A clean slate Asajj Ventress shall have. If help us, she will.
Anakin shifted his weight.
That's quite the deal, Master Yoda, he said.
A Jedi Master recovered, and to the light returned? Little enough it is, for so great a deed.
Ventress looked as if she couldn't believe what she was hearing. And if the truth were to be told, Kenobi could scarcely believe it himself. But he found that he agreed.
Accept, do you?
Ventress nodded.
I do. But you're going to have to trust me.
Anakin, of course, didn't trust Ventress as far as he could force throw her. Kenobi did, to an extent. He trusted Ventress to not do something that would get them all killed. And he trusted what he believed she felt for Voss. It remained to be seen, of course, if Voss returned her sentiments. And if so, that would have to be dealt with. But all that could wait until they had brought the Jedi Master safely back home. Anakin fidgeted. Kenobi could hardly blame him. It was not a place he had ever dreamed he'd willingly be. Yet here they both were, in the Banshee's cockpit.
And you're certain the ship's cloaking device is active?
Anakin asked uneasily. I don't want to be hurtling out of hyperspace unprotected into the path of a dozen Separatist cruisers. Ventress smiled a little.
I'm as sure as I'm going to be. Have a little faith, Skywalker.
Faith? In you?
I'm the only chance you've got right now. So yes, you'd better have faith. Here goes nothing. Fingers crossed, boys.
She pressed the button with a long forefinger, and they dropped out of hyperspace into the very center of a crowded flow of dozens of Separatist vessels. Everything from starfighters to frigates to Dooku's looming flagship.
Oh boy, muttered Anakin.
It isn't too bad,
Kenobi said, sounding unconvincing even in his own ears. He and Anakin exchanged tense glances. Ventress stretched cat-like in the chair.
And nobody seems to notice us. How about that?
While Anakin scowled at Ventress, whose smirk only grew, Kenobi put in,
Well, it would be nice if we actually had a plan.
Ventress's stony look returned, and she ceased toying with Anakin.
I believe the plan was to get Voss off that ship.
She pointed at the enormous Providence-class dreadnought that was leading the fleet. Ventress slowed and allowed the Banshee to drop back, carefully maneuvering out of the path of any of the other ships, which were, thankfully, clearly unaware of their presence. Obi-Wan could see the ship's hangar. The doors were open, but of course there would be a particle shield erected to prevent anyone or anything from entering or departing without permission.
And exactly how do you intend to do that? Anakin asked.
I worked with the Separatists once, remember? They have a finite number of channels and codes that vary depending on the sector and the name of the operation's flagship. Given that, I think it should be...
She touched the controls.
Permission to depart,
came a voice. Obi-Wan and Anakin exchanged glances. The Elder Jedi was impressed.
Code?
AYF-47562.
Permission granted,
said the voice. And while the fighter eased out to join its fellows, Ventress brought the cloaked Banshee smoothly inside. She landed it gently. Any noise it might have made covered by the sound of the fighter's departure. There was a slight shimmering around the entrance to the hangar as the force field was reactivated. The lights inside the hangar dimmed, indicating that attention was no longer on the area. Ventress did a quick scan for droids or lifeforms.
We're clear,
she said, and lowered the ramp.
Okay,
Anakin said grudgingly.
That was, not too shabby. Now we just have to figure out where Voss would be.
Well,
Kenobi said, lifting a hand and casually using the Force to short out the security cams.
Since he is apparently an admiral, he's bound to be on the bridge.
What about Dooku?
Asked Ventress. Anakin's face hardened.
I'll take care of him. Looks like we might get two for one today. Dooku's death and Voss's return.
May the Force be with us,
Kenobi murmured, and they began the hunt.
Chapter 28
Ventress wished they could simply charge through the ship, destroying anything and anyone that got in their way. But while she was passionate, she was also practical. Stealth had gotten them into the ship. Stealth would have to get them to the bridge. Only once before had she worked in a similar manner with so many fellow Force users. When she, Karras, and Nalith had attempted to kill Dooku. She had to admit that both Skywalker and Kenobi were stronger in the Force than her sisters had been. Together they were extremely powerful. It was a pity that the three of them and Voss could not team up against Dooku. The Sleemo wouldn't stand a chance.
Voss.
Ventress felt again the stab of doubt. It had been impossible to entirely escape the images of his face on the holonet, and she'd seen the telltale yellow of his eyes in Dooku's prison. But there had been that moment when she had fully owned her lies and laid herself open to his judgment. When Voss had hesitated, and Ventress had seen the true Voss still inside. He had understood how hard it had been for her, if only fleetingly. Was it really possible that she could reach him again? Or had Dooku so dominated him that there was nothing left of the man she... Well, if he was lost, she would do what was necessary without a second thought. It would be what the real Voss, the Jedi, would want her to do. Ventress recalled the difficulty with which Voss had finally reconciled himself to killing a simple, non-sentient creature. That man would be horrified to be used by Dooku to kill thousands of innocent beings. With what felt like agonizing slowness, they made their way through the ship, hiding from wandering patrols of droids and shorting out any security cams before they could be detected. They paused at the end of the hallway.
"There's a corridor directly below us," Ventress said. "We go down that, and the set of doors at the end opens onto the bridge."
"You're sure?" asked Kenobi.
"I've spent a great deal of time on this ship," Ventress said. "The bridge is 3 levels. The captain's chair is on the 1st level, facing forward. There will be 8 computer stations, each operated by a droid. Possibly there will be other droids on the bridge."
"So 10, maybe 12? Anakin said.
"No problem."
"Where will Voss be?"
"In the captain's chair,"
Ventress said grimly.
"We can take either the ladder,"
she pointed to a narrow set of rungs to one side,
"or the lift. The ladder's safer. We'll be able to spot any droids in the corridor before we come across them. If we take the lift, we can't control what it would open up on."
"Agreed," said Kenobi. "I'll go first. Anakin, you bring up the rear."
Ventress stifled her irritation. Even now they didn't trust her. Kenobi climbed quickly and quietly down the ladder, pausing to listen and extend his senses with the Force before dropping down. Ventress and Anakin followed. Ventress pointed to the far end of the corridor.
"Those are the doors to the bridge. They're motion sensitive, so they'll open automatically. We'll..."
There was a soft ding behind them, and the lift doors opened. They whirled. A single, very puzzled-looking battle droid peered at them, then summoned the presence of mind to yelp into its comlink.
"Intruder alert!"
"Not so fast." Obi-Wan punched the droid in the face, and it staggered back. Kenobi closed the door on it, ignited his lightsaber, and melted the controls.
"Let's go."
The three of them raced down the hall and flung themselves through the door onto the bridge. The captain had risen. His lightsaber was in hand, but not yet activated. His brows were drawn together in a thunderous scowl as he shouted, his voice dripping loathing.
"Jedi!"
"Dooku?" exclaimed Kenobi, surprised. "You weren't the fellow we were looking for. But since you're here..."
Skywalker, however, wasted no time in banter. He leapt at once for Dooku. Blue and red lightsabers clashed and sizzled. The droids had begun firing, and Kenobi batted the bolts back with practiced ease, doing his best to angle the shots so they returned to the droid that fired them. Ventress paid neither Dooku nor the battle droids any heed. She vaulted down to the 3rd lowest level. Still crouching, she thrust out both hands, force-grabbed a droid in each one, flung them behind her. Both droids hurtled toward the lightsaber combatants. Dooku glanced up and sprang down to the 2nd level. Anakin followed him. 2 droids approached Kenobi, firing at him simultaneously. The Jedi Master leapt upward, clinging briefly to the ceiling as the droids realized too late that they were now firing at each other.
"He's not here!"
Ventress shouted over her shoulder to Obi-Wan. She sliced the head off of 1 battle droid, forced through another against the bulkhead. 6 remained.
"Get back up here and cover me!"
Kenobi shouted, fighting his way over to one of the consoles on the 1st level. Ventress leapt across the bridge and positioned herself between Kenobi, who was checking the ship's computer in an attempt to locate Voss, and the droids who were firing on him. She spared a glance for Dooku, 1 level down. The fight between him and Anakin was close and constantly shifting. Ventress felt a brief flash of amusement as she realized that for the first time, she was actually rooting for Skywalker. Dooku made claws of his hands, and force lightning crackled in the space between him and Anakin. Skywalker got his lightsaber up and held his own, slitting his eyes against the blue glare and flying sparks. Still sending force lightning with one hand, Dooku reached out with the other. A dismembered droid torso shot up in the air, hovered there, and then Dooku flung it at Anakin. The Jedi leapt down to the third level, and the Count followed him. With their master otherwise occupied on the other side of the bridge, the remaining droids opened fire freely. Dozens of bolts streaked toward Ventress and Kenobi. Calmly, Ventress batted back some with her lightsaber. The others she simply redirected, using the Force. Three more droids fell, twitching and sparking. "I've got him!" Kenobi shouted to be heard over the noise of combat. "Ventress, he's not on the bridge because he's in the brig! He's still a captive! Do you realize what this means? There is no Admiral Enigma! Dooku's been using Voss as a tool to lower Jedi morale!" Ventress was flooded by joy so intense that she almost couldn't breathe. Renewed energy filled her, and she reached out, grabbed a protesting droid in the Force, then smashed him down. "You two go on!" called Anakin. He dodged a strike from Dooku's red lightsaber that whizzed past the top of his head and brought his own blade up for a counterstrike. "I'll take care of him!"
"Insolent puppy,"
snapped Dooku, parrying Skywalker's strike. Together, Ventress and Kenobi cut down the remaining droids. Debris toppled everywhere, legs and arms, heads and parts of torsos. When they reached the door and raced through it, Ventress took a moment to pierce the controls with her lightsaber. "Anakin's still in there!"
"So is Dooku,"
she retorted.
"And this way, he can't summon droids to improve his odds."
"Excellent point. The brig is
on the level below us. Come on."
Voss hung, naked to the waist, from glowing shackles. His back was toward Kenobi, and Obi-Wan felt a pang of empathetic pain at the sight. Dooku, it seemed, had decided to forego more elaborate methods of torture in favor of the basic ones. Voss's broad back was a ribbon of older scars and newer welts. Some were scabbed over, and not a few were still bleeding. His once muscular but sleek frame was emaciated and pale, as if he had not seen the sunlight in months. He appeared to be unconscious.
"Voss!"
Kenobi rushed forward. He cradled Voss's brutalized body in one arm while he slashed with his lightsaber at the shackles. Voss cried out sharply as his arms shifted from the position they had been forced to maintain for who knew how long. Obi-Wan eased him to the floor.
"Obi-Wan, is it really you?"
Voss's voice was ragged. "Yes, it's me, old friend."
"Is Ventress?"
Voss looked around, and his face lit up.
"Asajj!"
Wincing at the pain the motion cost him, he reached out to her. But strangely, she hung back, reminding Obi-Wan of a wild animal about to bolt. Voss appeared not to notice.
"I dreamed of you. I'm so glad you're here. So glad..."
"Can you walk?" Kenobi asked.
"Yes, I think so."
With Kenobi's help, Voss awkwardly got to his feet. His gaze was fixed on Ventress, and his smile faded at the look on her face.
"Asajj?"
Voss moved toward her. She took a step back, narrowing her eyes.
I'm so sorry I attacked you. I had to,"
she scoffed.
"Forgive me if I find that hard to believe.
You know Dooku."
Even speaking seemed to tire Voss.
"He records everything. There were devices in my cell. I had to let him think he'd turned me. But I couldn't keep up the act."
Again, Voss reached out for her.
"He suspected I hadn't turned and put me back here. He comes and tells me all the things that I've done as his admiral. Ventress, I..."
"Stop it!"
she shouted.
"Kenobi, we're too late."
"What?" Kenobi was shocked.
"I saw his eyes then, and I can feel the fury inside him now. He's just itching to break our necks.
Ventress activated her lightsaber and brought it in front of her, holding it with both hands and poised to attack. The green light illuminated the glitter of unshed tears in her eyes.
Now hang on a moment, Ventress, Kenobi said soothingly, trying to calm her through the Force.
Asajj, how can you say that? It's still me.
Boss put a hand on his chest, which was also bleeding from recent lacerations.
It's still your Quinlan. I've not changed, I swear. I'm the same.
The same as you were when you tried to cut my head off with your master's lightsaber.
Wait, what? Kenobi looked at Voss searchingly. The other Jedi turned to him, pleading. Kenobi reached into the Force and tried to sense what Ventress claimed to feel. Voss was physically weakened, disoriented, and in pain both physically and emotionally, but any darkness Kenobi could pick up on was that of simple despair.
I don't sense anything sinister, Ventress, Kenobi said slowly. I think perhaps your emotions are clouding your judgment.
She looked at him as if he had suggested they sprout wings and fly.
My emotions allow me to see the truth! This is a trick! How can you not sense it? The hatred is seeping out of his pores!
Ventress looked back at Voss, shifting her weight on the balls of her feet.
My connection to the dark side was tenuous at best, and even I could barely pull away from its grasp.
She swallowed hard.
Voss has been consumed.
Shock rippled through the Force as Voss stared at her, stunned.
Ventress!
Shut up!
She screamed.
I can't listen to your lies any longer!
Again, the tears glittered in her eyes. When she spoke, it was in a broken whisper.
I am so sorry. This is the only way you can be free.
And she brought the lightsaber sweeping down.
Chapter 29.
Obi-Wan sprang in front of Ventress, his lightsaber hissing and crackling against hers. He pushed her back, shouting her name, but she was beyond reason. She leapt over him, landing in front of Voss. The Jedi fell to his knees, throwing up his hands to force shove her backward. He was so weak that even this attack to save his own life merely pushed Ventress back a few steps. That was enough for Kenobi to land a flying kick to Ventress's hip, and she stumbled, turning the fall into a flip and landing facing Kenobi.
Why can't you feel it?
She cried, and her sincerity and pain were so real that Kenobi felt a rush of pity.
Ventress, think for a moment. This place is steeped in dark side energy, and Voss is in terrible pain.
Ventress didn't pause. She was a righteous angel, intent on destroying the thing she believed Voss to have become. And for a fleeing instant, Kenobi wondered if he ever appeared that way to those he was forced to slay. Then all thought needed to be focused on preventing Ventress from murdering the very man they had come to rescue.
Get out of the way! Kenobi shouted to Voss.
Voss obliged, supporting himself by leaning on the wall as he put distance between the two combatants.
You don't understand,
Ventress cried.
You weren't there!
She whirled, targeting Kenobi now instead of Voss. Her green lightsaber was a blur, and Kenobi was hard-pressed to parry.
You know,
he said, slipping his blade alongside hers, then twisting it to throw her off balance.
I rather think fighting you was easier when I was trying to kill you.
Voss leaned against the wall, panting, his torso slick with blood and sweat. From his position, he could see down the next corridor.
We've got company!
He shouted, and sure enough, Kenobi could hear the clatter of metallic feet. Ventress abruptly dodged Kenobi's blow and returned her focus to Voss. By this point, Obi-Wan was not just alarmed by Ventress's single-minded and inexplicable distrust of Voss, but growing profoundly exasperated.
Ventress, by all that is good in this galaxy, can we please settle this later?
He reached out in the Force, lifted her up, and plunked her a few meters farther down the corridor the way they had come.
Go!
He shouted. in their many previous encounters, Kenobi had taunted Ventress by reminding her how good she was at running away. But this time, for one terrible moment, Kenobi was afraid Ventress was willing to sacrifice them all if it would ensure Voss's destruction. Fortunately, her survival instinct kicked in, and with a frustrated growl, she sprinted off. The droids were closing on them. Blasts ricocheted off the curving metal walls and illuminated the hallway with red light. Kenobi pulled the weaponless Voss in front of him, supporting the weakened man with one hand, while partially turning around to bat back the blaster fire. Abruptly, Ventress skidded to a halt. Voss and Kenobi almost ran into her. A fraction of an instant later, a circular chunk of the corridor ceiling crashed straight down in front of them. Standing in the center of the metallic circle was Anakin Skywalker. His lightsaber was still lit, and the circle's molten rim was orange.
"Hi, Voss," Anakin said.
"Nice to see you again."
"Nice to see you too, Anakin," Voss said, peering up, baffled, through the hole Anakin had just cut in the ceiling.
Blaster fire pelted down, and the four of them leapt forward, heading toward the hangar and escape. Droids dropped through the hole, some of them landing atop their fellows that had pursued the group from Voss's cell. Squeaks of,
"Hey, watch it!"
and
"Ow!"
ensued from the hapless droids. But soon enough, the clankers were again in pursuit and firing. The Jedi and Ventress made it to the hangar and raced up the ramp to the Banshee. Voss all but fell into one of the seats in the hold, fumbling at the straps. Kenobi stilled his hands and began to secure his friend while Ventress began to fire up the ship.
"Come on,"
she muttered under her breath, then cursed.
"They've changed the code for the shield. I'll have to try to figure it out again."
"And now they're closing the doors,"
Anakin said. Kenobi looked up from Voss to see that Anakin was right.
"Can you get us free?"
Kenobi asked. Ventress's fingers flew over the controls.
"Maybe,"
she said.
"But that door is closing fast, and the droids will be here any minute."
Voss looked up.
"I know where both sets of controls are."
Before Kenobi could stop him, the injured Jedi had risen and was opening the ramp.
"No!"
shouted Ventress. She sprang from the pilot's chair and jumped down into the hold, trying to tackle him. Kenobi grabbed her arm. Startled, she wrenched it free, but Voss had already jumped to the ground and raced out of sight.
"You let him get away!"
Ventress snarled.
"Don't you see? He's not coming back."
She drew back her fist, but Anakin's hand shot out to grab it.
"Settle down, Ventress,"
Anakin snapped.
"We don't know anything for sure."
"I do."
Ventress stabbed at her chest with a forefinger so hard that Kenobi thought the gesture would leave a bruise.
"I know he's fallen, and I know he can't be brought back."
Ventress.
Anakin pointed, and Ventress looked through the viewport. The hangar doors had stopped closing, and then a heartbeat later, they began to reopen.
"Check the controls," Kenobi said. "Is the shield deactivated?"
Ventress was already back in her seat.
"We're free,"
she said, confusion in her voice.
"And here comes Voss," Kenobi said, unable to keep the triumph out of his voice as he waved his friend forward.
Ventress turned to look, emotions warring on her face. Blaster fire screamed, and it seemed impossible that Voss wouldn't be struck by it.
"Go, go, go!"
Voss shouted, leaping for the ramp.
He struck it clumsily, crying out with pain, clambering aboard as it retracted.
Ventress didn't give him a second glance. All of her attention was on getting them out of there. They were out of the hangar just as the ramp door closed, with the droid's blasters catching the stern of the ship.
"Great job, Voss,"
Anakin enthused.
"It's good to have you back."
Voss had his eyes closed, gritting his teeth against the pain. Some of his wounds had reopened and were weeping blood.
"Strap yourselves in,"
Ventress called back to them.
"We're not out of trouble yet."
Ventress's warning had come just in time. Dooku had launched fighters after them. Kenobi's spirit sank even farther when he realized that these were droid tri-fighters, so called because of their trio of arms,
each fitted with a light laser cannon.
The arms surrounded a gyroscopic ball in which its droid pilot was seated. The core was equipped with a large laser cannon. Devoid of sentient living beings, the tri-fighters were not only flown by an integrated droid brain, but dispatched Discord missiles bearing buzz droids, small droids that attached themselves to the target and set about disabling it. Everything hinged on Ventress's skills now.
"How fast can you jump to hyperspace?" Anakin asked.
"Not fast enough," Ventress said. "Skywalker, I need you on the triple blaster. Kenobi, you're on one of the laser cannons."
"What about me?"
Voss asked her.
"You stay put."
"Ventress, this is foolish. I know this ship like the back of..."
Kenobi's stomach dropped out as Ventress plunged, darting beneath one of the tri-fighters, then soared upward in a loop, coming perilously close to another one.
"Ventress, what are you doing?"
shouted Anakin as he lurched into the cockpit.
"Are you trying to get us all killed?"
"I'm trying to do the exact opposite," Ventress grunted.
The ship veered hard to port, then lurched up again. Kenobi understood her tactics. Ventress was flying like a madwoman because that was the one thing the droids could not counter. Irrationality. They expected their enemy to behave in a logical fashion. For instance, Ventress's present tactic of flying straight at them...
"Damn it, Ventress, let me help!"
shouted Voss. It was obvious Ventress wanted Voss to touch nothing on the ship. But Kenobi had an idea.
"Voss!"
he called as he fired the laser cannon at one of the enemy vessels.
"Keep an eye out for the buzz droids. If you see them coming, use the Force to send them back to their ships."
"Whoa!" exclaimed Anakin as the ship turned upside down and kept flying that way.
"Here we go!"
shouted Ventress. And just as one of the droid ships directed a blossom of laser fire at them, Kenobi saw the welcome sight of the stars appearing to turn into streaks of light as they made the jump, at last, into hyperspace. Everybody leaned backward, indulging in relief.
"Now then," Kenobi said briskly, unfastening Voss's shoulder harness and locating a med pack. "Let's see about your injuries, Voss."
"I'm fine," Voss replied.
"No, you're not," Skywalker said. "And I bet Ventress doesn't want blood on her containment chair."
Voss tensed at the mention of her name. Kenobi shot his former apprentice a glare. Too late, Anakin realized his faux pas and mouthed,
"Oops, sorry."
Voss's wounds were sterilized and bandaged in awkward silence. There were so very many of them, Kenobi thought. He stepped forward when Anakin was done.
"I brought an extra cloak," Kenobi told Voss. "Here."
Voss accepted it, shaking his head as Obi-Wan tried to assist him. He paled slightly as the rough brown fabric touched his brutalized torso, but made no word of complaint. For a moment, Voss seemed lost in thought. Then he rose. He ascended the ladder to the cockpit slowly, lips tightly closed against any utterance of pain. Kenobi and Anakin exchanged uncomfortable glances. They were close enough to the cockpit so they'd hear everything the two said, which was, honestly, the last thing Kenobi wanted.
"Ventress,"
Voss said quietly.
"I never meant..."
His voice trailed off. Kenobi thought that would be the end of it. But Voss tried again.
"I thought for sure you would understand what I was doing. You know how Dooku thinks. Did you believe that there would be a minute when I wasn't under surveillance? I never meant to hurt you. I was just playing a part.
There is no we anymore."
Ventress's voice was pure acid. Kenobi sensed the underlying anguish that turned it so very bitter.
"The Quinlan Voss I knew is dead."
Kenobi could feel how the words bit.
"Please,"
Voss began.
"Stay out of my way, or I will kill you."
Even Anakin winced at that one. A moment later, Voss made his painful way down the ladder and slumped back in his seat. He looked as if all the pain of the entire galaxy had descended upon his lacerated shoulders. The three Jedi sat in awkward silence. Anakin and Kenobi couldn't pretend they hadn't overheard. Although Voss was clearly distressed by Ventress's cutting words, in the long run, a Jedi could not have attachments. Voss would one day, soon, Kenobi hoped, be grateful to Ventress for not prolonging what could not be. Even so, he found himself wanting to offer words of comfort. He was surprised when Anakin beat him to it.
"She'll come around," Anakin said kindly. "We know it's really you who's come back to us."
"Yes," Kenobi said. "She'll realize the truth soon enough."
Voss looked at them with anguished dark eyes, and buried his face in his hands. It was a long trip home.
Chapter 30
Desh stood just outside the Jedi Council Chamber. His muzzle was split with a huge grin, revealing sharp white teeth.
"You're late," he said. "As usual."
Ventress watched as Voss's eyes lit up, and he extended his hand to his friend. Desh moved as if to clap Voss's shoulder, then paused as he noticed the cloak and a glimpse of the bandaged flesh it hid. His ebullience faded, and he said,
"I'll save the welcome home roughhousing for later."
"I'd appreciate that," Voss said. He gave a tired smile.
How could none of them feel it? Ventress wondered.
Voss's eyes hadn't changed color, not once, but the dark side wrapped his soul as the cloak wrapped his body. Her heart broke every time she tried to second-guess herself and open to the Force. She hadn't lied to him. Voss, her Voss, was dead. Murdered by Dooku. And, Ventress had to acknowledge, by her. She thought she was strengthening Voss by lying to him about Tholm, but instead she had handed Dooku the perfect weapon. He also hadn't been ready for the sleeper. She'd pushed too hard, too fast. He had needed more time. Time to work with both the dark and the light, to understand the balancing point between the two, so that he could do what was needed and still stay himself. Perhaps it would have been better if they had died together, fighting the Count, never knowing what pain lay in store.
"Ventress,"
Skywalker said, in a tone of voice that indicated it wasn't the first time he'd spoken her name. Ventress snapped out of her bleak reverie and followed them into the council chamber. The wary looks cast in her direction did not escape her notice, nor did the fact that every Jedi present, with the exception of Voss and Yoda, had a hand on his or her lightsaber.
"Master Krennan Voss,"
Yoda said, his voice warm with affection.
"Happy you are back, we are."
"Thank you, Master Yoda. It's good to be back."
"A difficult time you have had. Yet strong you have stayed."
"Most would have broken under Dooku's tutoring,"
Mace Windu said.
"Master Kenobi and Jedi Skywalker have assured us that is not the case."
Ventress bit her lip hard. She tried to warn them. If she protested now, they wouldn't believe her. She could only hope that Voss would give himself away at some point. It was not her job to save the Jedi from their own blindness.
"Asajj Ventress,"
Yoda said. She looked up, meeting his eyes evenly.
"Return something that was lost, you have. Grateful we are."
"To show our appreciation for your aid in the rescue of Master Quinlan Voss," Windu said stiffly. "The Council honors its promise to grant you an official pardon for all of your past misdeeds. From this moment forward, consider yourself an unmarked woman."
Ventress felt Voss's gaze on her. She refused to look at him. She shrugged, uncomfortable for about 1,000 reasons with the words Windu spoke.
"Thank you for your generosity," she managed.
Her voice sounded strangled to her own ears. and by their expressions to theirs as well. She didn't care. She just wanted to be out of this room. Away from the monster that wore a lover's face.
May the Force be with you,
Yoda said. Ventress bowed perfunctorily.